Or Dr. Gao.
Yes.
Would you like to talk about what it was like growing up in China?
Up to date?
No, when you were a child, when you were growing up there.
Yes.
Could you tell us what that was like? Say your home, the schools you attended, your family?
Well, I put this way. After I was born, China had no peace. I was born in the first World War time, that was back in 1914. And after that, there was the Civil War in China. Jointly, the Second World War come out, that was back in 1937. Up to 1941, there was the Second World War. Actually, the Second World War wasn't started from 1941, but it was counted after the Pearl Harbor was bombed by the Japanese airplane. President Roosevelt said that this war was started. So after that war was started, we lived under that war situation for almost 4.5, roughly speaking, 5 years. And afterwards, Communist China fought again with the nationalist China for so many years till 1949. And then nationalists left China, went to Taiwan to establish its government. I was left for this country by that movement. Actually, I left in September 1946. So that's on and on. I just say that after I was born, there was really no peace. Practically, every year there was engaging a war. Either this governors fought with the governors, generals fought with the generals, principal fought with the principals, and countries fought with the countries. As the countries fought with the countries, such as China, engaged the war with Russia, and engaged the war with Japan, that's on and on. My hometown was established by my grandfather in Qingkang, which is not too far away from Nanking, along the Yangtze River. It was not a big city, but it was a very important city. Why I say it was an important city? First one is that the British treaty with China, and the British government established a kind of international settlement in Shanghai, and then Qingkang was one of the cited river port for the British. And Qingkang, my hometown, was one time in the Three Kingdom period. Three Kingdoms. That was almost 300 or 400 A.C. Pardon me, A.D. B.C. Yeah, A.D. That was one of the chapters for Three Kingdoms. Of course, in my home province, there were two major cities. In the west, as I said, Nanking, which means the southern capital. And the east part, along the Yangtze River, it was Shanghai. Shanghai today is still considered as one of the important international port cities of the world, with the population roughly around 10 million people, the largest city in China. Yeah. What are the other questions you want to raise?
What was your family like that you stayed with?
Well, my father was a merchant, and it was my grandfather created a kind of company to produce domestic materials, such as raw rice to sell the people. You know, raw rice, the grain rice. It's not today, the Kellogg and the Post, this kind of food stool. Okay, keep on asking. Yeah.
How about your mother and your brothers and sisters?
You may not know that in China, the system was not as same as it is in this country. There was a kind of common thing in China. The virtue of a woman is no education. In this country, for example, men and women equally occupy some kind of job positions in the society. There is a lacking of the family life. But China, even after this time, is considered that in such a way that the woman should stay at home, take care of the family life, and men should go out to search for a job to support the family. So you talk about China, actually you are asking me about the cultural system. This is one of the differences of the cultural system. For this reason that woman is always dependent on man. Man, on the other hand, is also dependent upon the woman for the family life. Therefore, mutually, they are cooperative with each other. But in the Western society, as I see to it, there is no such kind of great emphasis so that the society may sometimes have the problem. I watch the television most of the time, there is a divorce court. Why do people want to do this way? It's because that they are independent. They don't care about us. They want to take care of themselves. Don't you see? This is a very important difference in the two societies from the cultural viewpoint. I had no brothers, no sisters. I had the relatives, like cousins, and I have the uncles, aunts, and so forth. But I have been here in this country for 47 years now. There is a kind of a lacking of connection. I think some of the people are passed away during their natural living life, and the others I just have no way to connect with them. Luckily, I'm in this peaceful environment, that we have created a small family. My wife and I, and we have a daughter. Incidentally, my daughter, you may know her, you may not know her. She is Victoria Gall, equal adjutant from the American Right. As a matter of fact, she left the American Right after she finished up the 11th grade, because that moment people advised her that she could be admitted to some university. So she tried in early 1982, and then immediately at that moment, during her interview of the officers, from the officers at the University of Maryland in College Park, she was immediately admitted to the university.
Great an honor.
Well, I think, yes, she gained it that way, because she worked very nicely in schooling.
What ways did you get your food while you were in China? Did you grow it yourself, or did they have some type of market system?
Oh, yes, there was always a market system. However, as I said, my grandfather did this kind of raw rice company, grains, and he got this grains from the farmers in the field. And then he had a shop located in the city, so that farmers shifted the grains to him, and he, just like a middleman, sold the grains to the needed people.
What was your schooling like over in China?
The system, when I was a little boy, the system was the old system. In other words, put this way, like this small community. For example, this in Eastwood area, small community. And there are so many kids, maybe one family, suppose a family, want to hire a teacher. So later all the kids from the Eastwood go to that family to study under that teacher. Of course, we have to pay for this. After I graduated from this kind of small school, and this new system developed, and I went to a primary school, and then graduated from what they called a secondary school, like equivalent to yours here, like the 9th grade to 12th grade. And then after that, I was graduated from the University of Nanking, one of the 13 Christian missionary schools in China. I say 13 notable ones, such as in Peking, there was a Yanjing University. In Nanking, there was the Nanking University. In Suzhou, there is the Suzhou College. In Shanghai, there was the Shanghai College. And in Sichuan Province, which is one of the interior provinces in China, that was West China Union University. Quite a few. I just named several for you. And afterwards, I was hired by the University of Nanking, and in charge of the secretary science to the College of Science, that was the natural science, for 8 years. And I thought that was a common life for me. And I thought that in China, one who graduated from undergraduate work, he's supposed to be a top person from the scholastic standard viewpoint. Nevertheless, I thought that it's better for me to earn some advanced knowledge. That's why I came to this country.
Well, what type of courses did they teach you at Lanting?
Oh, I mean, that's the same as the courses in this country. I was studying political science, minor was economics. During the time the students, we have to, select six different courses as the electives. Rest of them are the majors. We had, 136 credits. After that, we have to write a thesis, and then pass the thesis, and we were graduated. One thing I want to emphasize, which may be different than in this country, that in China, when we were a kid, and we went to the old-fashioned school, and then we went to the modern school, one point was that the teachers emphasized upon the memorization of the science as well as the social studies. Right now, funny part is this. I have been here in this country for longer years than I lived in China. I lived in China practically 35 some years. I have been here for 41 years since 1946. I come to this country. This is 86, yeah, 41 years. I feel proudly say that my Chinese was built up by the teacher who taught me to study ancient classical writing, who encouraged me to write, and first, of course, to memorize and write a good essay. But here in this country, I think, Mike, you have gone through this thing. Don't you have the one time teacher say, you have to develop a creative thinking. You do not have to memorize anything. You do not have to study anything. Well, just like the food to help the people to build up a strong body. If the person say, well, you just breathe this natural air under the sunshine, nourish under the sunshine. You don't have to eat any food. You think you can live?
No.
I'm quite glad that this kind of theory created those people, by those people, it's all gone. And right now, Western type of the study comes back to the old fashioned. You have to memorize something. One time I gave a talk to a group of the students, the ninth grade or the sixth grade. That teacher did not like my comment. I said that they should memorize. He did not like my comment, which is, might be I was wrong. But I think I was wrong, perhaps to make a criticism directly. But I was right based upon my personal experience through so many years. 70-some years, got to be greater of my experience than that teacher who was perhaps 35, 30 years.
Well, in China, what did you do in your free time to entertain yourselves?
Well, that's a good question again. We emphasize on study. As a matter of fact, study in different ways. You either writing thesis, published in the newspaper, published in some magazines, created some kind of good thinking. Or you use calligraphy to please the people. Or on the hand, other hand, you may draw some paintings. This is what I'm doing now. You ask me just at the right time. That day of tomorrow, I shall display some of my paintings, brushwork, at the Liu Dangren Museum. Yeah. In fact, August the 3rd in the afternoon, there will be a reception started from 1:30 to 3:30. During that time, I have been asked to demonstrate by using the brush to draw some paintings on the Chinese paper. This is a hobby. So again, it's different than the Western philosophy, because the people here use their leisure time, sports mainly, baseball, football, basketball. I do not mean that exercise to build up your strong body is wrong, but I think too much emphasis of the sport is the wrong way. The society is built up by the people who can contribute something to the society. Not going to think about this sport, $1 million contract, and then people got rich. Not like that. But here again, it's different philosophy. I don't want to criticize too much.
That's plain, I think.
Yeah. And again, that most of the time, you know, that what they come on saying, that thanks God it's a Friday. In fact, today is a Friday. Yeah. Even weekend, we have to do study. Not going to say, I'm just kind of wild, crazy, when the Friday comes. And then I forget about everything. If I work, I earn a little money. I invite a girlfriend. I go out to drink. I go out to dance. I never did see very often that boys and girls sit down quietly to do some study. Of course, I haven't contacted very many of these people. Might be you people are very nicely to use your leisure time. And that I don't know. If that is the case, my words is not right.
Well, that's quite all right. I know everyone has their own philosophy, and they should just stick to what they believe in.
You, Mike, you know that when you come here to interview with me, you like to know some of the Chinese culture, Chinese philosophy of living, and how does the Chinese philosophy of living differ from the American way. That's what I want to say something to you. Otherwise, I just have one way to talk. That doesn't seem to be directly touched to the point of what you want to know something from me.
Well, this is quite all right. When you were a child, what type of games did you do in China?
Oh, I mean the soft games. In other words, I exercise my body, built up by myself, not going to fight with somebody. And the games are entirely different than here. I just have no way to describe too much. You know that here in this society, like you have a kind of boxing. That is, the boxing is the fighting with each other. But in China, so to speak of the boxing is an individual exercise. Kicking, you do not kick the people, you kick the air. That's the way I can say, yeah. And in this society, perhaps right now, some people are familiar with what they call Tai Chi Chi, or this karate, that kind of thing. If they live it too much, but we in China do not do this kind of work.
Mm. What were some of the folklore that they had in China, or some of the folk heroes that you might like to briefly describe?
When you said the folklore?
Such as legends, or it's kind of hard to describe, I guess ancient stories would be the closest thing.
Well, ancient stories, you can see that China lived in the world for 5,000 years. If you ask me about these things, I just want to tell you, you ask me to tell a story like the Arabian Nights, which means that 1,001 night, there is no ending. That's a long story, long story. But several things I can pick up for you. We pay all respect to Confucius. We pay respect to the early scholars. Even at my home, I have a scroll, silk scroll. When I have time, I would read the writing on this scroll. That was a kind of philosophy given by Zhu Zi, which means that just like a Confucius, but it's not as great as Confucius. The Zhu Zi philosophy is a kind of simple philosophy. Don't fight, don't argue with the people. You do your own work. When you have the money, you have to save your money for the needed time to spend. Not going to spend the money at the time when you have. And again, use the American saying, don't keep up with the Joneses. Joneses are the Joneses. You are you. That's it. And always try to be honest. Several things we should think about this have given to us by the ancient philosophers, like goodness, virtue, and be honest. You have to trust the people. And you have to build up your wisdom when you study the ancient literature and so forth. And sometimes the manners should be good and should have a very gentle manner. And to the people, you have to be polite. You know, funny part is this in China. When you write I, like I, you, he, when you write I, everywhere in a sentence, everywhere in a conversation, everywhere in a letter, you always a humble person. But on the other hand, I guess it's a British as well as this society. The I is well in a sentence, not just to say at the beginning of a sentence, always a capital letter. This one, this I, am so important. Big letter. happening to crazy. Some kind of argument good or bad. But to my judgment, the I makes some people so proud of. And the word of proud could be in different ways. In China, we never use this word, proud. Suppose that you got the straight A's from the school. You go home. You talk with your parents. By reporting to them, you say, "Well, boy, look at that. This time I got the straight A's." Parents, if you're in China, under the Chinese family, parents can never say, "I'm so proud of you." Instead of saying, "Good, Mike, you're doing very nice. We feel very happy, but keep on doing." Not going to say the word of proud of you. At the same token, when you fall down on the street, you broken your ankle, broken your skin of your body. The people say, "What is it?" Because you are already suffered. Why do people want to say the shame? That's no shame. You have to sympathize with the people. You say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. Is there anything I can help you?" No good thing. It's what a big shame. Look at Michael. These are two simple things. You can see the cultural differences between the East and the West.
Yes, I've just learned so much just by listening to this third time. When you did move to America, what were some of the immediate differences that you saw between the two cultures and languages and people when you came to America in 1946?
Well, again, this is a very interesting question. I never thought of this. But one thing I can tell you is that there is lacking of politeness in this society. Why I say this? First time, I studied at one big school, famous school, in near Boston. Near Boston, Massachusetts. I went to a class, sit in to listen the teacher talk. There was a classmate, American classmate, brought into the class of his dog, and the dog is run over the desk in the classroom. And then I felt very embarrassed, and the teacher said to that boy, "Hey, whose dog is this?" And that boy said, "That's my dog." "Hey, you, put your dog away from the classroom." Why? The study is the study. You don't want to study and play at one time. You play the dog, it's not in the classroom. Classroom is the room for the people to learn, for the people to study, for teachers to talk. That is a simple impression I had, but that's good enough.
When you first started working, when did you move to Harford County? And why did you decide to come here?
Well, very interesting. I make this story very short. In fact, I could tell you, I studied in this country in four different institutions. I worked in half dozen of institutions. To study in four institutions, I studied at the Clark University, Western Massachusetts, MIT, Boston, and Massachusetts, Cornell University, Ithaca, New York, State University of Iowa. And I worked as a teacher in quite a few institutions, to start with Bradley University, Peoria, Illinois, Ohio State University, University of Kentucky, and University of Nebraska. And one time even I taught the Green Berets at the 82nd Airborne Base at Fort Bragg, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
When did you come to Harford County then?
Oh, yeah. Since I studied so many places with the different field of learning, since I taught to so many different universities with my learning knowledge, after a few years of my university teaching, I feel very disappointed in the way that the students didn't like to learn very much. And I was lacking of teaching interest. And at one time, one summer, that was back in 1955, I talked to a professor at the Harvard University, Cambridge, Massachusetts. He said, with my background, learning broad knowledge and a basic training in geography, I just got into city planning. City planning, you know, the regional and city planning. So I said to my Harvard University professor, I said, I do not know anybody in this field I can contact. So he was so kind to me, immediately wrote a letter, wanted me to talk with the housing department in Washington, D.C. To see his old Harper University schoolmate. So when I talked to this gentleman in Washington, D.C., and he said, well, look, Towson is not too far away from here. They need to have more people to go the regional planning. So I went to Towson, made the interview. You mean I got the job. Incidentally, you may not know, back in 1959, I was the one who joined in writing of Great Baltimore Regional Planning. I still have four big volumes of this book, like General Land Use Studies, Transportation Studies, Industrial Site Studies, and so forth. I studied, I made a writing in that kind of general land use study called The Classification of the Soil in the Great Baltimore Region. What is the Baltimore Region? Baltimore Region is including Baltimore City, which is center, Baltimore County, east of Harvard County, west from Baltimore County, Carroll County, southwest from the Baltimore City was Howard County. So these five counties plus Baltimore City is called the Great Baltimore Land Use City. I wonder if today these city planning people know about its origin, but I was one of the early persons. As a matter of fact, I made, when I was in Baltimore County, are made a general land use. Evaluate the general land use for northern section of Fort Macomber. That was back in 1959. I spoke to the group of the people. I said, within 27 years, I can never say that the north of Siouan Road can be developed. Glad it's over 20 years. North of Siouan Road, which is the Hunter Valley Mall. That's all. Hunter Valley Youth and the CNP telephone company. That's all, I guess. Nothing else. Because I have studied the base based upon topography, slope study, forest coverage, soil fertility, all of these kind of things, including this city potential development. Now you want to know how could I come to this? Again, I worked in Baltimore County Office of Planning for a few years. Just happened the time I want to go back to teach. Because you know that when you're working in office, there is no respect to your lawyers. It's based upon what rank are you in. If you're a high ranking staff, or if you're a lower ranking staff, it does make it quite different. I thought that is, again, something that fits my desire. And just happened the time I want to change, that was back in 1957. Here, Harper, that Board of, Harper County Board of Education created a Harper Junior College. At the same time, former county had the two created. One was Essex Community College. The other one was Cadenceville Community College. I was so interested that Essex Community College asked me to teach part-time. At the same time, Harper Junior College wanted me to teach part-time. As a matter of fact, back in those years, those colleges were borrowed the classrooms of the high school. Like Essex Community College borrowed the classrooms from what school? From a school. But definitely, Harper County Junior College borrowed the classrooms of Belair High School. Just two classrooms upstairs of Belair Elementary School. I thought that was very good. Why? Because some adults come to the college, as well as some of the newly graduated students from high school went to the college, and we had a very harmonical atmosphere, and quite a few people want to learn. As a matter of fact, most of the adults, they went to the Harper Community College because they had a little experience in working different jobs, so they are anxious to learn. They're not really playing. Oh, I thought it was very nice. But afterwards, I made my mind, because the president, Dr. John Musselman, asked me if I would like to consider to join Harper Community College as a full-time teacher. So I did. Use the word applaud. The word, the product which I don't want to use, but now at this point I may use the word proud to say I was could be said as a first four professors of Harvard Community College. And again, I live in this community. Harvard Community College, the staff members treat me very nicely. And we are friends. And even after this time, they still call on my service sometimes at their need. That's what I come here. Now the time goes so fast. I even retired in 1979. After retirement, after this time, almost the same year. But I still feel very happy. Why? Here again is the Chinese philosophy. I have to live in a simple manner of my life. I should not have a great ambition. Since I do not have greater ambition, I do not feel worried too much. I sleep well, eat well, and I don't want to search for this other job to put the other people under me and to make myself as a king. That's the kind of wrong philosophy which I don't want to have. I just want to live peacefully. As a matter of fact, Aristotle said, of course, I haven't met him. You folks who study history, you must know. Life is to live, and to live well.
That's so right.
Yeah. Young man, you should learn this way. You use the scientific knowledge to strengthen your wisdom, ability to do the things for society, for the country. But on the other hand, you should consider the humble philosophy, keep humble philosophy for yourself to live in the society. You will be all right. Okay?
Okay.
What else do you want to know?
Over the years, how have you seen the Harvard Community College evolve from this school that borrowed classes from the high school and to what it is today?
Yeah. Well, this right now, the Harvard Community College is a really good community college. It's both teachers and students are kind of selected people. Very good. I'm proud to say this. Luckily, I was there to join them as a staff member. Recently, newspaper or somewhere, I saw that the Harvard Community College plans to be the four-year college. I think they're qualified. First one is the location, because they go to College Park as well, go to University of Delaware. Almost each way is 7 miles. And Harvard Community College is located such a 200 some acres of ground. That's just good enough to be at the four-year college. As to the staff members, they are very strong people. I mean that they're from the viewpoint of their field of study. So I wish I can say too, yes, to see the Harvard Community College from 2 years to be 4 year college. And you people, young people, do not have to go too far to get your 4 year college education. You know that when you study in this native town, you really save so much money.
I know.
As I said, my daughter Victoria, you know, she studied at the University of Maryland at College Park. Each year, you can see roughly it's $9,000. When you study in this community, you do not have to spend this much. Perhaps, I do not know, perhaps you say $9,000 cover the 3 years of your expenses. And you got the new covenant, or even better, knowledge, education.
Also, how did you get started with cartography?
Oh, cartography is a relate to my artwork. Yes. As a matter of fact, I published so many maps.
Would you like to tell us about some of the techniques that you've used and learned?
The technique is not about much. Just the way you have to handle this thing with your hands. But one thing is that when you do these things, just like you do some other things, be honest to your job. I do the math work. I want to do it as accurate as possible. When you talk about accurate as possible, you have to search for so many different materials. You cannot do everything without any reference. You say, I can do this, I can do that. It's impossible. Come back to the point. If you want to write a good essay, if you do not study so many ancient writings, you say, I want to write a good essay. What? Can you draw your wisdom? You have to do so many studies. Therefore, you talk to me about the math work, cartography. You have to search for so many different materials. And then you pick up this one. It's good for this part, not good for the other part. And that one is good for the other part, not good for this part. And that's on and off, you become a good one. One time I talked to the student in my class. I said to them, so to ask what kind of job can you do? You just try to ask them, what kind of knowledge you can fit into what kind of job? I said this way, I said, look, if I go up to some good publishing company, I said, I can do the cartography work. They first must ask me, have you done so much work? I said, yes. Would you like to see my work? They said, yes. Okay, I give them work to see. I can get the job very easy. Not going to say, well, I just graduated from school, or I just teach you something. I have nothing to show to the people. So this is what I advise my students. I said, don't worry about the job. Just think about what kind of job you can handle. You have to give up something to show something to the people. Not going to show the Jungle to show Mike yourself. You know I use your first name.
Oh, that's quite all right. Yeah. Well, are there any other stories or comparisons you've seen between the two cultures you'd like to tell us about?
Well, my friend, I'm just talking about that story. It's a long thing. I don't think I can. Even I cannot start with one. Too many stories. But I want to say one thing to you. Is that if people in my age live in China, mingled with the older living philosophy, we always get up ourselves very humble, very humble. In this society, people are always fighting with the people. If you are not humble, you mingle with the people fighting with each other. There is no fun. The life like that where you're sad. You have to be very humble. Okay, you say this, I keep quiet. I want to show you in action sometimes what I said is right, this way. It's not going to fight with the people. No argument. That's it.
I just have one question. I don't want to be mean or anything about this question. But it's kind of hard to phrase it. It's not the word it's kind of like a paradox, the way you talk about this. Mm. Where you say the Chinese philosophy is to be very humble and then live with peace. But I was just curious, then what causes so many different factions to have so many wars? One thing that I just don't understand, if that's the philosophy, I don't understand how they can, do you have any say about what you, or your thoughts about that?
Yes. Hanfa is the manner to treat individuals. The fighting is the fighting for principles. If you work, for example, Michael, if you work for somebody in or at the Free Melvin Rights, tell your teachers. And your teacher said, well, look at this, they think that thing. You have to back up your teacher, not back up the teacher. So that the majority in China, what are soldiers? They have to back up for their generals. Generals are fighting with generals, or the governors. They were fighting for principles. Not today, still fighting for principles. One is nationalism, the other one is communism. Not fighting for individuals.
So that's why you say they're not fighting individuals, they're fighting for their principles. Is that's the one cause?
Yes.
Or is there anything else you would like to add?
Well, that's up to you.
Well, all right, how did you feel then once the Red Chinese, or the Communist Chinese, had taken over with Mao Zedong victorious and making China communist? How did you feel about that?
Well, I guess a course they wrote in the book, War and Peace. It's always a happiness with each other. So I have no comments at this moment for this. It's like the tongue and teeth are in the same mouth, but they're still fighting. Sometimes teeth bite in the tongue. Sometimes the tongue rolling the teeth.
Or do you think that the new programs that the Communist Chinese have brought in have helped the people a lot more than they, before they were in power?
First thing it is the new program. What is new program today they think about is the old program, long, long time ago. It could be dated back to 4,000 to 7 years ago, the old one. And because the people haven't seen those things in those days, therefore they think the new program is not program. And China is almost dead. I think 10 million some people there. Mass people in the society. Any kind of system is very difficult to dominate the Chinese society. Even that one time, all the people in China are well educated. When the people are well educated, their thinking is different.
Well, when you say when they're well educated, their thinking is different, what do you mean by that?
Well, first one is that not well educated because the mass Chinese people, there is no such popular educational system to train the people. On the other hand, if they all were educated, it's harder to dominate the people, to control them. Why? The more is the education you have, the greater is your wisdom touched to the certain things. For example, I give you this thing. You are a female right student. You're